lights to give you praise, and so do I. So as the sunlight meets open fields and city streets, my song will rise. So wake me up, looking up and running in your strength.
Hi there, everyone. This is Brayden and Tally with the Voice of My Beloved podcast. And we're here another week on the Hallel Psalms. We're working our way through Psalms 113 through 118. And we are currently at Psalm 116. We started it last week. And again, just really love this Psalm. It stands out amongst all of the others. It's a really special one. And, you know, I just wanted to, this Psalm, this particular chapter actually really stood out to me in high school. I went to public high school. I'd gone to Christian high school most of my life. And then I transferred over to public high school the last couple years, in 11th and 12th grade. And, I saw just the darkness that so many of my classmates were grappling with, and just the darkness and was really devastating my friends' lives that were around me in school and stuff. And so, as I was kind of praying about it and, reading through the Bible and stuff, through this season, I got to this particular psalm, and God really spoke to me through this psalm, because it acknowledges hard times and it acknowledges the darkness that's there that's trying to pull at us, but it gives such a psalm of hope. And so this psalm was like my theme psalm through high school, those years that I was there at high school. I even did an art project with it. It was kind of a fun project that I chose this psalm to do with. But anyways, really neat psalm. And we've gone through the first half already, and we're going to be diving into the second half here.
So yes, we're right here at verse 10, Psalm 116. So I'll go ahead and open up with the verse here. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. I heard a story recently. It kind of speaks to the situation here, about all men being liars. And there's a certain level where we all are born with this tendency to not really be honest with ourselves. And we need a transformation inside of our souls to really be honest. But I heard the story, this guy, he was driving down the road and he ran into this car. And he jumped out of the car real quick and said, "What's up with all you crazy drivers? This is the fourth car I've run into today." And so just, you know, it's like he wasn't really understanding that it was his problem. You know, so sometimes, you know, we just need this wake up call to realize that, you know, if we've got a bad driving habits, then we have to take responsibility for that. If we've run into four cars in one day, then, you know, it's actually our problem. You know, So, all men are liars. And just, you know, getting back into the idea that we're talking about this, a psalm that Yeshua sang at the Last Supper. And we know that he's had this conversation with Peter that night, and Peter's saying, "I'm never going to deny you." You know, it says in the Gospels, but he spoke more vehemently. Peter's speaking vehemently. It means he's speaking strongly. "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And it says they all said likewise. So all the disciples are saying, "We're not going to leave you. We're not going to deny you." But we know what happens. They all end up running away. And so this psalm speaks directly to what Yeshua ends up seeing, is that these men are liars. They lied to him. Mm-hmm. They weren't truthful to what they had said, that they weren't going to leave him. So this psalm has application there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really, you know, the human tendency, because, you know, earlier in the psalms, talking about not putting your trust in man, but putting your trust in God, and just the frailty of humans, right? And how we can have those times in our lives where it's just like, all men are liars. You know, they just all mess up. They're all imperfect. But the reality is that our hope and our trust and our, you know, our whole being can't be relying on how people are going to treat us, even though we can't ignore that as well. So it's good though, because this next part, I feel like the psalmist is making a turn from that, right?
Yeah. Yes, he's looking to God. Verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will lift up the cup of salvation, or I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. So here we have the question, what am I going to give to God? I want to give something to God for all that he's given me, for all the benefits that he's given me. And so later on in the psalm, we see he's going to pay his vows. So he's going to render to God this service, this vow that he's offered, he's going to give to God. But before that, he goes, verse 13, I will lift up the cup of salvation. And that Hebrew word there for salvation is Yeshuot, which is the plural. So salvation singular, Yeshua, and then salvations, Yeshuot. So he says, I will lift up the cup of salvations. You know, ultimately, our salvation is plural. It's got this multifaceted element to it that God saves us on many levels. There's Yeshuot, there's salvations in our lives. So we lift up this cup of salvations and call upon the name of the Lord. And there's this sense here that we approach God because of his Yeshua, because of his Yeshuas, his salvations. That's the only reason we're able to call upon the name of the Lord, is because of this cup of salvation, this place of lifting up salvation and approaching God. So on one occasion, the people of Capernaum asked Yeshua, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And so just tying into this idea of, you know, what can I give to God? What can I do for God for all that he's done for me? And Yeshua, he answers this question, what can I do? What are the works that I can do? He says, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So Tal and I just want to discuss for a moment here this idea of believing and acting and how they really need to complement each other. But in the scriptures, it can be a little bit mysterious as to how this actually works. Here, Yeshua, he's saying, this is a work to believe. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we can minimize just the simple act of believing, but mm-hmm. Yeshua said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. So this is an important aspect of our faith, is believing in him. Believing in Yeshua, this is an actual work of God. Mm-hmm. In Ephesians 2:8, we're all pretty familiar with this verse. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So very much...
It's a popular one.
Very popular verse in Christianity. And a beautiful thing. Wow, mm-hmm. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It's not something that we did to save ourselves. Yeah. It's a gift of God. And God doesn't want us to be boasting about how we saved ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. He wants us to come to him humbly, recognizing that it's because of his mercy mm-hmm. that we've been saved. Mm-hmm. But now we look at James, and this is kind of the flip side of the coin. In James 2:24, he says, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Now this verse here doesn't get much airtime a lot of times. You don't hear this verse being trumpeted, quoted much, but it's still there. And James, we know, is a pillar in the church. He's someone that is greatly respected. You know, in Acts 15, he's like the go-to man. Mm-hmm. And so his words carry a lot of weight for the apostolic community in the early church. And he says, you see then that a man is justified by works. What? Mm-hmm. He says, justified by works and not by faith only. Mm-hmm. It's pretty weighty. Yeah. So Martin Luther, I'm sure many of you are familiar with that name, Martin Luther, kind of the father of the Reformation. He did not like the book of James for this reason, because he was really big into salvation by faith, you know, not of works. And there James, he throws out this verse, you see then that a man is justified by works. Mm-hmm. And so
I think it's kind of funny, you know, because I've heard a lot of arguments like this, where it's like one person standing on the one side, like, no, but you can't do anything. Like all of our, you know, works are just dirty rags, you know. And then the other person like, yeah, but, and it's such a funny argument to me because it's like, man, you both are right. Like stop arguing about it. Like you both are right. Like there's, and I know there's a lot of us that in our lives, you know, depending on what situation we're in, we need to hear different things, mm-hmm. right? Like, and sometimes they can sound opposing, right? Like if I'm, for instance, if I'm really just beating myself up about something, like I tried something with all that I could and I just didn't succeed in the way I wanted to. And I'm just really upset about that. And I'm in the dumps and stuff. I need someone to come along by my side and say, listen, it's okay. You did your best. Like you're doing great. Just keep trying. You're going to get better. It's going to be all right. Right. But then there's other times where it's like, I didn't think it was a big deal and I messed up on something and it was because I didn't pay enough attention to what I was doing, or I didn't, you know, I didn't put as much, put as much concentration on something as I could. And I really need someone to come along and go, hey, you could really do better. Like I saw what you try. I know you're capable of more. You can do more. Right. And it's funny because both of them are needed, right? Like we need to hear both of those kind of, it sounds conflicting, but it's because there's different situations that need to be, it needs to be, you know, a different thing needs to be spoken into them. And so that's the way I see this is that, you know, it's what's so beautiful about the Bible. It's such a well-rounded, you know, such a well-rounded word that it's not just for one person in one particular situation. It speaks to all of us in all of the many situations that we go through in life. And so, and that's where it comes to, we really need to soften our hearts and hear what is he speaking to me right now? You know, what is his heart for me right now? Mm-hmm.
You just keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed and he'll take care of the rest. He's gonna do it. He'll take care of the rest. He'll see you through it.
Yeah. So yeah, doing our best. And I believe that's what God desires. I mean, he says, this is, he has shown you, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. And so there shouldn't be a conflict in that. There, in this whole idea of, you know, by grace you have been saved. We are saved, yes, by his grace. We need to thank him and be so grateful for his mercy every day, mm-hmm. his mercy that is new every morning, mm-hmm. but also realize that he's required of us. Mm-hmm. What is the Lord required of you? To do justly. To love mercy, mm-hmm. to walk humbly with God.
Yeah.
So I believe there's a great lacking of the preaching of righteousness in our day, and it leads to a weak discipleship. Mm-hmm. You know, if we don't have that preaching of righteousness, preaching of the kingdom, and that call to live for God with all of your heart, to live in wholehearted love for him, then there can be really weak discipleship, and mm-hmm. it can just be reduced to this idea of, well, you know, it doesn't really matter what I do. I can just do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. And that's not what God wants. God, mm-hmm. he said, first commandment, love me with all of your heart. And love is like, you know, in our relationship, Tally, mm-hmm. yeah. if I love you, that doesn't mean I'm just going to treat you like dirt.
Right.
you would never say, well, I don't care what you do. You
know? Right, 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 right.
Yeah. If I love you, then I'm going to want to please you.
Right.
I'm going to want to do things mm-hmm. you know, to show that I love you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've also found it, you know, with parenting stuff, it's, I think there's a lot of us that have been given an extra dose of one or the other, you know, the like works-based or the like grace-based, like, oh, just, you know, it's the mercy versus truth. Like we were talking about in one of the earlier podcasts and stuff. And I think that's good, you know, that God's kind of injected society with, you know, amounts of, so with that we hear both voices in the world and stuff. But I know that like, for me, like if you're parents and you're dealing with your children and stuff, is you really have to find a balance yourself, and not just hammer one or the other real strong. And even in our relationships, you know, we talk about discipleship. As we disciple people, as we encourage people and minister to people, how to be a voice that kind of stands in the middle or kind of knows, is sensitive to what that person needs to hear. Cause you know, cause our end goal is we want to see these people, be drawn closer to God. We want their walk to draw closer to God. And so we have to know, which voice do they need to hear right now? You know, which place should I speak out of right now? And so it's another, you know, another thing. We want to just hear the voice of God in that.
Yeah. As a young teenager, I read an article that really powerfully affected me. It was called The Two Voices That Affect Our Lives. And the one voice is the prophetic voice. And the other voice is the pastoral voice. And this article went on to explain that the prophetic voice is saying, you can go further, you can do better, you can live more wholehearted for God. And it's this, you know, challenging voice, like, don't stay where you're at. You can go on much further in your walk with God, which is true. Mm-hmm. And then the pastoral voice is saying, God loves you right where you're at. You are so beloved in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. And that voice is true too. Yeah. But if we end up just listening to one or the other, we can get lopsided in our walk.
Or even just saying one or the other.
Right. Yeah. If I'm always hearing the voice of challenge, 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 then I'm going to miss out on what this podcast is called, The Voice of My Beloved, which is, you know, I love you so much, you know, and that's what really empowers us to move forward. Ultimately, mm-hmm. We need that. Yeshua is such a beautiful picture of both. Mm-hmm. He calls us forward. He mm-hmm. calls us to continue on in our walk and challenging us. But he also says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. He wants us to have rest. We grow from a place of that rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
So we see here about the cup as well in the courts, which the psalm is kind of in this place, in the setting of the courts of the Lord. And so in the temple, they had these libation offerings. So this cup of salvation could be also linked to that drink offering mentioned in Numbers 28, verse 7. And its drink offering shall be 1/4 of a hin for each lamb. In a holy place, you shall pour out the drink to the Lord as an offering. So this cup of salvation, he's like, I'd be taking up this cup of salvation and like giving as an offering to God mm-hmm. as well. So we see in Passover, which we're coming up soon, a couple weeks, we see that there are four different cups used in the Passover Seder. And there's different opinions on what the four different cups symbolize. But this is one idea, is that the first one is the Kiddush, which means sanctification. The second cup is called the cup of deliverance or salvation. So here, relating to this psalm, I will take up the cup of salvation, the second cup. The third cup is referred to as either the cup of redemption or the cup of deliverance as well. And the fourth cup is called the Hallel, which is connecting to the Hallel Psalms, praise. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to mention that as we're coming up on Passover, just these different cups mm-hmm. that are drunk during the Passover meal. So verse 14, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So tying back to Yeshua, we see here this passage, it's a very well-known passage, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so here, Yeshua, he's about to lay down his precious life. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be something that is very dear, very costly. You know, that word precious could also mean costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Mm-hmm. It's the Hebrew word yakar, which is expensive. So this is a very dear, costly price that was paid. And so here, Yeshua is seeing this just moments before he gives his life.
Mm-hmm. I love this part here too, because, you know, we just look a couple verses back where it's saying all men are liars, and then there's this transition of all men are liars, and then it turns to God and recognizes God, lifts up the cup of salvation, and then his perspective on, it seems like his perspective on people has changed, you know? And so I like that, because he's saying in the presence of all of his people, like he's saying, okay, these are the people of God, and he's paying his vows in the presence of his people. And he's also talking about, you know, the kedoshim, you know, the holy ones. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, it's neat how his perspective on people almost changes as he looks towards God. It's like all men are liars. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to lift up the cup of salvation. I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. And then he's able to look back and realize this is the people of God. This is the holy ones. And so I like that kind of progression.
Yeah. Verse 16, O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. So we see here, not only is he a servant of God, but his mother was also a servant of God. And I just want to say how much I appreciate my mom. I consider her one of the greatest servants of God that I've ever known. And I can relate to this psalm. This psalmist is just really thankful. You can feel this thankfulness. You know, one of the reasons I'm a servant is because I'm the son of your maidservant. This blessing was passed down through your maidservant, and I became a servant of yours as well. Mm-hmm. You have loosed my bonds. Just love this. You know, he's saying I'm a servant. Basically, I'm enslaved. I'm like this, your bond servant to God, and you have loosed my bonds. And I just see this beautiful picture of getting loosed from the bonds of Satan to be joined, a servant of God.
Joined to God, yeah.
Yeah. So what a beautiful thing. He's a good master. He's a gracious master. Satan is so cruel. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, you know, this is a call for us to get loosed from the bonds of Satan and be a servant of God.
Mm-hmm. You know, I also think that it's talking about, you know, I don't know how powerful it is when you have generational faith, and how it's connected to loosing, you know what I mean, to the freedom that you experience. Is there's a connection there? Like how much more powerful it is when your mom, you know, is praying for you, your dad is praying for you, when your parents are walking in their faith of God. How it has to do, you know, how a lot of the freedom that we experience in our lives, how it goes back to, you know, our parents or grandparents or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And just what a beautiful thing that is, and how much we're going to affect the next generation as well, in seeing, you know, the bonds be loosed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Generations will reap what I sow, and I can pass on a curse or a blessing to those I will never know, to generations.
It's like that song, a Sarah Grove song.
It's a good song.
Generations will reap what we sow. Mm-hmm. Wow, what a weighty responsibility we have as parents, yep, to pass on good to the generations to come. Mm-hmm. Verse 17 now. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So we see in the Psalms different sacrifices. You have the sacrifice of joy, and now we have the sacrifice of thanksgiving, you have sacrifice of praise. And it's interesting, David seems to have a revelation of what the sacrifices were all about. You know, the actual animal sacrifices were symbolic in a way, it seems, for these spiritual sacrifices of thanksgiving. So he says, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of joy, a sacrifice of praise. Like when we praise God, either in a personal way or a corporate way, it's as if we're offering these sacrifices. Zechariah even says to offer the bulls of your lips. The literal translation in somewhere in the end of Zechariah, but it says to offer the bulls of your lips. It's like when you offer praise, it's almost like you're offering a bull on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful picture just to realize that when we praise God, that we're actually offering a sacrifice. And so here, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, I want to just share a personal testimony of a transformation that took place in my life. It's been about 6-7 months ago, but I was going through a hard time in a relationship, and I began to just kind of feel under it, you know, just like, you know, how do I get through this? I just don't know what to do. I'm trying to work through it the best I can. I don't know what to do. A friend of mine, Sam Spear, he actually said, Braden, you need to start thanking God for this problem. And I was like, you know, yeah, he's right. I need to start thanking God for this trial I'm going through. Amazing thing happened. The moment I began to do that, thank you, God. Thank you for this trial that I'm going through. Thank you for what you're teaching me through it. Everything changed. Not in the situation necessarily, but in my personal...
Your perspective.
My perspective, my mm-hmm. spiritual state changed. Mm-hmm. No longer was I a victim of my circumstance. It was actually something that I was able to praise God for. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this trial that you put in my life. Thank you for the good things you're working. And all of a sudden, this trial is serving me. It's serving God's purpose in my life. Mm-hmm. It's not just a random act of nature, a random, you know, whatever. It's actually God's purpose for me to be walking through this trial because he's teaching me something through it. And so it just totally shifts. So I want to encourage anybody out there, if you're going through a hard time with whatever, begin to thank God. This is so scriptural. Thanking God in everything. this is the will of God, the scriptures say, to thank God in everything. And it totally shifts our perspective and it delivers us from the self-pity kind of victim of your circumstance mentality. And it helps you to actually recognize God in all of your circumstances.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Now we're at verse 18. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. So we're wrapping up the psalm here, and this is a beautiful place. He's in the courts of the Lord, as we mentioned, with the libation offering. The psalmist, he's in the presence of God. He's in the courts of God, and he speaks to Jerusalem as if she is a person. And we see this in other places in the Psalms too. In Psalm 122, peace be within your walls, speaking to Jerusalem. Psalm 147, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. It's actually speaking to Jerusalem as if it has a human personality. Mm-hmm. And then Psalm 137, if I forget you, O Jerusalem. You know, can you think of just talking to a city like that? Like Nashville, oh, I just love you. I love you so much. You know, or you know, whatever city in the world. It's like, I just want to tell you something, Seattle. I just want to tell you how much I love you. May peace be within you. You know, it's like something kind of outside of our thinking. Mm-hmm. But in Jerusalem, we see this over and over again, speaking to Jerusalem as if it's a person. Mm-hmm. And so here, this psalmist is saying, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, this is where I'm going to pay my vows. Mm-hmm. So being in the Hallel Psalms, the praise Psalms, this is going to reach its fulfillment when the nations are going to come up and they're going to praise God in Jerusalem, in the midst of you. We can speak to Jerusalem and say, yes, one day in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, I'm going to praise. I'm going to say hallelujah, which is this, the closing word here is praise the Lord in the English translation, but it's the Hebrew word hallelujah. And so, which is, you know, fitting for the Hallel Psalms. Mm-hmm. The Hallel mm-hmm. closes, this psalm closes with hallelujah.
Yeah. I really love that it happens quite a bit in the Psalms where it talks about, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people. And I just love the picture of like testifying of God's goodness. Mm-hmm. And like, because it seems like that's the ultimate way to acknowledge God that he's done a work in your life is when you testify in front of people, you know? And so I think that's something that we all need to be encouraged in. When God is doing something in your life, that you testify, in front of people, you know, that you do it in the congregation, in the courts, you know, in the place where in your fellowship, with your friends, you know, that you testify of God working in your life all the time. And I think it does a lot for others to hear of it, you know, to really encourage them, but it also does something within you. I think it helps you to realize God's continual hand in your life. And I think it keeps us in a really steady place too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then just looking at this too, in the courts of the Lord's house and how Yeshua, you know, singing this psalm, he's going to the cross and he's going to pay his vow in a way. He's going to obey God. He's going to lay down his life in obedience to God. And we know from Hebrews that this work that he accomplished was actually something that took place or that had a heavenly ramification or a heavenly fulfillment. We see in Hebrews 9:11, but when Messiah appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this creation. So this psalm also has this element of he's paying his vows in the courts of the Lord, in the heavenly courts. He's like bringing his offering into the courts of the Lord. He's bringing his obedience to lay down his life into the very courts of God in heaven. And we know that even the earthly court, the earthly tabernacle actually responded to this heavenly thing that happened as the veil rends, right? Mm-hmm. And so even though he laid his life down outside the camp, you know, but it had this impact on the actual physical temple and also in the heavenly temple where he, you know, in the courts of the Lord, he's paying his vows in the heavenly courts. He paid his vow.
That's good. All right. So I think, are we wrapping up?
Yes. So as a takeaway, just want to encourage everyone to thank God in all of your circumstances, to really just offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to him every day. He's mm-hmm. worthy that, and we give him thanks in all our lives and all that we go through. Mm-hmm. So I just encourage you to embrace that lifestyle, to thank him for everything, the good, the bad, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Yep. Thank him for it. He's using it to shape you mm-hmm. and do a good work in your life.
Yeah, he's a good God. Yes. did we want to touch on Purim, the fast of Esther? It's coming up.
Yes. For those that will be listening to the podcast today, there's a fast coming up, the fast of Esther, which is done in Israel by the Jewish people. And Lars Enderson has sent out a video, if you want to look that up, just the reasons we need to be fasting and praying, particularly in this season with the Israeli election coming up, which has a lot of mm-hmm. factors that, you know, really going to have a lot of implications, who ends up getting the, mm-hmm. who ends up winning that election. So just want to encourage all of you to engage in this fast and to pray for God's will to happen in Israel. Mm-hmm. That we'd be modern day Esthers.
Yep.
Praying for God's will to come forth and that he would save his people.
Yep. All right. Well, we're going to close out here. I'm going to end with a clip of Psalm 116. So that's what we're going to kind of part with here. This is sung by Zach Waller and played also the guitar, Zach Waller, and we've got some piano by Ben Werp and Kathy Dellis on the cello and Greg Preuss on the bass. So it's a really beautiful piece. So I'm going to end there. This is Braden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved. There's freedom in his voice, and we were meant to be free.
He has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me, and in my days I will cry out. The pains of death surrounded me, the pains of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow, then I called upon the name of the Lord.